Patty for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's Word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. It is summer, so you know what that means. It is the season for vacations. I will be leaving for vacation right after church today. So this is the shortest sermon that I've ever... No, I'm just kidding. No, it's the season for vacations. It's the season for, the heat and humidity. So to escape that, my family will be going down to Orlando. It's a winter wonderland down there or something like that. It is also the season for summer blockbusters. And there's one that came out this weekend that is crushing it at the box office. It's Superman. Now, I haven't seen it. I don't know the story exactly, but I think we could probably all guess, right? It's going to be, there's Superman, and then there is this villain named like Dr. Destructo or something like that, which, as an aside, why is it never just someone like Doug? You know, if there was a Doug that's willing to take on Superman, someone that neurotic would be more terrifying. Anyway, so you have Superman, then you have the villain, and they're going to go at it, and they are going to clash. Superman is trying to save the world. This villain's trying to defeat Superman. He's got a laser pointed at the earth to keep things interesting. And so the whole struggle of the movie is Superman versus the villain. But here's the thing. Everyone who was sitting in the theater this weekend watching that movie wanted the same thing. Everyone wanted Superman to win. Now, there was no one in there that bought their popcorn and settled into their seat and thought to themselves, you know what would be awesome? If the villain wiped out civilization and killed Superman, I mean, that would just make my day to see a movie like that. No one thinks that. Everyone wants the same thing. They want Superman to win. And if you're one of those people that's like, well, actually, Superman, with all of his powers, poses a threat to humanity, so it wouldn't be the worst thing if he died, you know, we're just going to pray for you. That's not a normal thought to have. Everyone wants Superman to win. Everyone wants the same thing. Everyone in here right now wants the same thing. But it's not dealing with Superman. It's dealing with someone far greater. Everyone in here wants to go deeper with God. That's what I want. That's what you want, right? You want to go deeper with God. Well, if you have your Bible, open it, or if it's already open, look at Psalm 27, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? When evildoers come against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. Though an army deploys against me, my heart will not be afraid. Though a war breaks out against me, I will still be confident. David, the guy who wrote this, is facing a very tough situation. He's facing a crisis. People are trying to kill him. And yet, in the middle of all of that, he has this incredible trust in God, this incredible confidence in God, this incredible comfort in God. His relationship with God is deep. And that's what I want. I know that's what you want. So today we're continuing our Summer in the Psalms series by looking at Psalm 27. And as we study it, we will see how to go deeper with God. Three things you must do to go deeper with God. Let's start with the first thing. To go deeper with God, you must desire Him. You must desire Him. There are questions that I like to ask people when we're just sitting around to kind of get to know them. They're not the average question, I don't think. They're questions like, if you could eat one food once a week for the rest of your life, what would it be? Or if you could go anywhere on vacation, where would be the one place that you would go? Or if you had to give up one of these, coffee or your phone for a month, which is less likely to make you go insane? Which one? Or this is kind of a variation of the first question. If you could take one food and make it nutritious and it has zero calories, which one food would you create as the new superfood? And I have spent way too much time thinking about the answer to that question. It's pizza, by the way. But what is the one thing? That is what all of those questions have in common. What is the one food? What is the one place? What is the one thing? With that in mind, look with me at verse 4. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. David talks about the one thing that he asks from the Lord. What is it? To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. That's the one thing that he asks for. But if we're honest, we probably wouldn't have said what David said. If we're honest, we kind of think that David made the wrong request, that David asked for the wrong thing. I'm sure you've thought about this before. If a genie came to you and gave you three wishes, what would you ask for? You've probably thought of that. Yeah, you might have something in your mind right now. You might have two things in your mind. You might be one of those people that's like, well, I would wish for a million more wishes, and I just keep doing that. Never. Well, that's cheating, according to Aladdin. You're not allowed to do that. What would you ask for? You would ask the genie for something. Okay, now take the genie out of the equation and put in God, who is actually real, who actually is all-powerful, and what would you ask him? If you could ask God for one thing, what would it be? Would it be for perfect health so that you don't have that pain or that limitation anymore? Would it be for your kid to get over whatever it is they're dealing with in their life so that you could finally have some peace? Would it be for billions of dollars so that you would never have any more financial stress and so that you could bless your church? I know that's what you were thinking when I said that. If you could ask God for one thing, what would it be? Well, here's what David asked for. Here's what David desired. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. You see, David desired God. Above everything else, above power, above security, above wealth, David desired God. This is part of why he had such a deep relationship with God. And it shows us, to go deeper with God, you need to desire him. To go deeper with God, you must desire him. Now, here's a question that, if you really think about it, if you let it sink in, it pierces you down to the heart. Ask yourself, what do I desire? Really, above everything else, what do I desire? Well, what we are told is that we are supposed to desire God above everything. Is that what you desire? Is it perfect health or financial security or a spouse or a better job or retirement or energizing friendships? Is it one of those things? Or is it God? We should want God more than anything else. And if you don't desire him, you're not going to go deeper with him. If your heart is not for God, is not desiring God, then what's going to happen is you're going to desire other things. And then you will chase other things. You will give your heart to other things. You will think all the time about other things. You will commit yourself to other things. You will invest your life in other things. And your relationship with God will stay right where it is. It'll never go deep. So to go deeper, desire God. Imagine you go out into the Gulf and you want to see how far you can dive down into the water. And so you take a big breath and you go down, and maybe it's because you can't hold your breath very long. Maybe it's because you're just not a good swimmer. You can only go about 8 feet down until you have to come back up and get more air. And so you do that and you think to yourself, man, I really wish that I could go deeper. And then you just go back to the shore and go about life as usual. You know, you go to work or you go to school, and then you go spend time with your family, and then you complain about the price of milk, and then you go to sleep, and you do it all over again. And about 3 months later, you go back out into the Gulf, and you dive down again, and you can still only go 8 feet. Okay, now imagine that there is a suitcase with $100 million in it, 15 feet down, sitting right there, and you're the only one who knows about it. Is that going to change things? You're probably going to do some breathing exercises. You're probably going to work on your swimming. You might even go try to get some scuba gear so that you can go down there and get it. But you will go deeper because of what you desire. Your desire for it makes you go deeper. God is more valuable, more desirable, more incredible than $100 million.
Amen.
And you can know him. You can experience him. You can go deeper with him. But you must desire him. Now we hear that and we go, okay, but I just desire what I desire. You know, it's just kind of my taste. It's like an impulse. I can't really control that. Well, here's the thing. You can grow in your desire for God. There are ways that you can do this. Here's how. Ask God to increase your desire for him. Spend time in his word, even when you don't feel like it. Spend time around people who are passionate about God. Reflect often on what he has done for you. Fast from something that distracts you from God to make room for him. Think about all the ways that God is better than all the other things that you desire. And as you do these things, the Holy Spirit will grow your desire for God, which will help you go deeper. If you want to go deeper, desire God. So that's the first thing you must do, desire him. And then there's a second thing that you must do. If you want to go deeper with God, number two, worship him. Here's what I know about you. You are busy. Doesn't matter what season of life you are in, you are busy. You have appointments to get to. You have dishes to wash. You have people to care for. You have floors to clean. You have texts to ignore, it seems like, when I text you. But you are busy, right? All of us are busy. And the truth is, when we're busy, it's hard to slow down. When we're busy, it's hard to reflect. When we're busy, it's hard to think. When we're busy, it's hard to worship. Honestly, we get so busy that sometimes worshiping God feels like just one more thing on the to-do list, sandwiched between, you know, clear out the mystery Tupperware in the refrigerator and find all of my missing socks. When we're busy, it feels like worship is just a chore, right up there with flossing and changing your oil and organizing all of your kids' Legos by color. It's a waste of time. They're just going to mix it up 15 minutes later. It feels like a chore when we're busy to worship God. It can be really hard to worship when you're busy. But think about King David for a second. King David was way busier than you. However busy you think you are, he was more busy. He had a country to run. You have a Netflix show you're trying to catch up on. He was actually busy. He was dealing with things like staff meetings and political dramas and actual armies trying to kill him. And he was trying to fend off his enemies. You see, he was busy. However, in the middle of all of that busyness, look at what he says in verse 6. Then my head will be above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in his tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. In the middle of all of his busyness, he wants to spend time with God. He wants to worship God. And when he does that, he doesn't feel like he is drowning in life. Instead, he feels like his head is above his enemies. He is above the fray. When he is taking time to worship in his busyness, he doesn't feel like he's falling behind in life. He is exactly where he should be. And so he worships God. He offers sacrifices. He makes music to God. He sings to God. David worships God. Now, don't you want to go deeper with God the way David went deeper with God? Well, then you need to learn what David learned. To go deeper, worship him. And maybe you think, well, I wish I could, but you don't know my schedule. You don't know how preoccupied I am with all of these things. I'm just too busy to worship. Well, if David can worship in the middle of a crisis, you can worship in the middle of a busy week. Even when you're busy, even when you feel like you're drowning, even when you are overwhelmed, worship him, and you will find that you go deeper with God. When you're young, you don't really take time to just stop and think, right? I mean, maybe this is why I got into so much trouble earlier in my life. You know, I didn't stop to think, what would happen if I did shoot that bottle rocket at my sister, you know, how it could catch her hair on fire. I didn't stop to think about that kind of thing. And if I would have, then maybe I wouldn't have done it, and I wouldn't have gotten in trouble. And she would have had hair for those 6 months. Yeah, but I didn't stop. No, I'm just kidding. That part didn't happen. I didn't stop to think about that. Because when you're young, you don't stop to think. Now, your mom or your dad or whoever raised you, when you were young, you didn't think about all they did for you. You didn't think about all the meals they made you, all the laundry they did for you, all of the soap and deodorant and shampoo they bought for you, which, guys, you ignored in your teen years. You didn't think about all of that stuff. And then you grew up. You got older. Maybe you went to work. Maybe you got a pet. Maybe you had a child of your own. And at some point, you did stop and you did think about everything that your parents did for you. Whoever raised you did for you. Maybe you had a chance to talk to them. And you said, hey, I've never said this before, but thank you so much for everything. How? How were you able to do it without losing your mind? Because I feel like I'm losing mine right now. And you listened to them respond. And they talked about how difficult it was raising a child, the sacrifices they had to make, the joy of watching you grow up. And what you found is your relationship with them went deeper. And the reason why is because you stopped and listened. You stopped and thought. Worship is a lot like that. Worship isn't just a feeling. It's not just saying words that you're not thinking about. It's not just coming here on a Sunday and going through the motions. No, worship is reflecting on what God has done and responding to Him. It's where you think about who He is, His wisdom, His goodness, His power, His justice, His kindness. It's where you pause and reflect on how He has treated you with grace and mercy and gentleness. Worship is where you think about these things and you respond to God from your heart. And what happens when you worship is you go deeper with God. Because you have a greater appreciation of who He is and what He has done for you. You have a greater affection, a greater love, a greater awe for Him. Your relationship with Him stops being surface level and becomes real. It becomes personal when you worship. Because worship is the road to intimacy. It's how you know, things about God to actually knowing God. So if you want to go deeper, worship Him. It means you have to stop. You have to reflect. You have to respond. In all of your busyness, let me ask you this. Are you worshiping God? Think about it. Are you worshiping God? Do you take time to read His Word so that you can know more about Him, how wonderful He is? Do you spend time in prayer thanking God for who He is and what He has done? When you're driving, do you just listen to podcasts or entertaining music? Or do you actually sing worship songs to Him? Do you pray to Him in that time? Well, if you want to go deeper with God, worship Him. That's the second thing you must do. And then there is a third thing you must do that we see here. If you want to go deeper with God, number three, see His care for you. See His care for you. You will go through a lot of things in life that you don't want to go through. And I don't mean just like the normal stuff. I don't mean like when you only want to make one trip from your car to your house, and so you get everything in your hands, and then you realize you forgot your phone, so you try to grab it, but you can't get a good grip on it, and you're waddling your way into the house, and you drop it, and it falls, and it chips the edge of the screen. Like, no one wants to go through that, but people do. And honestly, it's your fault. Just walk the extra 30 steps back to the car. I know you'll melt. It'll be all right. We don't want to go through things like that, but you will go through things that you really don't want to go through in life. Things that are brutal. Things that are hurtful. Things that are discouraging. Things that are heartbreaking. Things that are tragic. Things that are hard. Things that are infuriating. Things that are devastating. If you haven't already experienced those, then you will, because it's just part of life. And the way that most of us feel when we go through things like that is that God is distant, not that we are deeper with him. We feel like God is far off, not that he is holding us close. And so we return to David. David lost a child, had a child die in infancy. He experienced heartache. David had people try to kill him. He experienced stress. David had friends turn against him. He experienced discouragement. And yet, look at what he writes, starting in verse 7. Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. My heart says this about you, seek his face. Lord, I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not leave me or abandon me, God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. Here, as David is going through something really bad, he's asking God for help. He's asking God for direction. He's asking God for salvation. And when he is saying these things, when he's asking these things, he has a line that almost seems out of place here, but it shows us how to really go deeper with God. It's verse 10. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. You see, David saw that God cared for him. And you might hear that and go, yeah, of course, God cared for David. He was the king of his people. He was an important guy. He's in the Bible. Like, yeah, of course, God cared for him. No, 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 listen to me. God didn't just care for David. God cares for you. Now, I know that you might hear me say that, and you don't know. But listen to me. God cares for you more than anyone in the world. No matter how close you are to them, no matter how much they love you, no matter how much they would sacrifice for you, God cares for you more. And maybe you hear that and you go, okay, well, Sean, then answer this. If God really cares for me, then why did he let my child die? If God really cares for me, then why did he let me get this sickness? If God really cares for me, then why did he let that person break my heart? If God really cares for me, then why did he let this relationship absolutely crumble? If God really cares for me, then why on earth would he let me go through this? We think that because of what God allows us to experience in this broken world, this world that is messed up by sin, we think because he's letting us go through these things, that he doesn't actually care for us as much as he says he does. It's hard for us to believe that God cares about us more than anyone. But the Bible tells us right here, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Even if mom and dad, who have provided more than anything else for me, even my mom and dad who raised me, even my mom and dad who loved me and cared for me more than they did themselves, even if they abandon me, God still cares for me. But here's the question. How can we know that's true? When we don't feel it, how can we know that's true? When you are in pain, how can you believe that? When you are suffering, how can you believe that? When you are going through the fire, how can you believe that? Oh, you see, God doesn't just tell us that he cares about us. He shows us. You want to know how much God cares for you? You want to believe that he cares for you in the pit of your heart? Then look to the cross of Jesus. On the cross, God showed his unending, everlasting, relentless love for you. Though you turned your back on God, though you questioned how good he is, though you tried to run him off the throne and sit on it for yourself, out of love for us, he sent his son to die for our sins. He cares for us more than we could possibly know. He cares so much that he sent Jesus to die in our place. There is no greater care than that. The cross shows us that God cares for us. So if you want to go deeper with God, see that he cares for you. And when you see that he cares for you so much that he sent his son for you, well, then it changes you. Your love for him grows deeper. Your trust in him grows deeper. Your hope in him grows deeper. Your confidence in him grows deeper. Your surrender to him grows deeper because you know how much he truly cares. If you want to go deeper with God, then see he cares for you. And you've experienced this in life, haven't you? I mean, practically, you know this is true. Hasn't there been a time where you were going through something really hard, you were facing something very difficult, and someone that you know was there for you? Hasn't that happened to you? Now, maybe you were going through something tough, and someone showed up at the right moment. Maybe they helped you move that really heavy furniture, even though it was 110 degrees in August and the humidity was like 900%. Or maybe you were going through something really tough, and somebody showed up and brought you some food. Hopefully Danny's Fried Chicken and Nice, so that stuff can make anyone feel better before it shuts your heart down, unfortunately. Or maybe they just sat there and listened to you vent. Well, how did you feel about that person afterward? How did you view your relationship with them after that? Didn't you feel like your relationship was deeper than it was before? Yes. Because you saw that they cared for you. God has done infinitely more for you than anyone else could possibly do. If you see that, if you see that he sent his son to pay for the wrong that you have done, then no matter what you are going through, no matter what storms you are facing, your relationship with him will grow. To go deeper with God, see he cares for you. That's the third and final thing we see today that you must do to go deeper with God. Now, we could go on and on and on. There are several more things, but we're going to stop there today. We want to go deeper with God. You want to go deeper with God. And by his grace, you can do it. To go deeper with God, you must desire him, worship him, and see he cares for you. And as you do these things, you will see that God gives you grace upon grace, that he draws you to himself more, that you go deeper with him. But as we have worked our way through the Psalms, we've seen that each psalm doesn't just teach us something. Each psalm points us to someone. Each psalm points us to Jesus, and this one is no different. Think about it. Your relationship with God is only possible because of Jesus. He left heaven, came to earth, lived the perfect life you should have lived, died the sacrificial death that you deserve, was buried, and then rose up from the grave. And because he did that, we can have a relationship with God. See, we cut ourselves off from God by our sin, but Jesus brought us near through his sacrificial death and glorious resurrection. If you want to go deeper with God, don't just try harder. Trust in Jesus more. Trust in Jesus more. Here's how you can do that. Ask for his help every day. Pray honestly. Admit your need for him. Don't just ask him for things. And when you fail or struggle, run toward Jesus, not away from him. Confess and remember that he forgives you. He has already paid for that sin. Rely on his promises instead of your performance. Remind yourself, he is faithful even when I am weak. And rest in his finished work. When you feel like you haven't done enough, tell yourself, Jesus already did everything necessary to bring me close to God. Don't just try harder. Trust in Jesus more. That's how you're going to go deeper. Have you trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? If the answer to that is no, then you don't have a relationship with God, your creator. You are separated from God because of your sin. But Jesus died to give sinners like us a relationship with God. So today, trust in Jesus. He offers you this gift of salvation freely. He offers you this relationship freely. Accept it today. Call out to God, I know I am a sinner. I know I have done wrong, but forgive me based on who Jesus is and what he has done. And if you believe that in your heart, your sins will be forgiven and you will have a relationship with God, your creator. That's what you were made for. That's what you long for. So trust in Jesus today. If you want to do that, you have questions about that, we're going to sing a song here in just a minute. I'm going to be standing right down here. I'm going to be waiting for you. As everybody else is singing, come down. Let's talk about what it means to trust in Jesus. Put your faith in him today and enjoy a relationship with God. Christian, maybe you know Jesus, but you feel like your relationship with God has gotten stale. It's just shallow. Maybe it's routine. Maybe you're stuck on the surface, but you want to go deeper. Well, then desire him. Worship him. See he cares for you and trust in Jesus more. Let me ask you, what step do you need to take today or this week to grow deeper in your relationship with God? Is it asking God to help you want him more than anything else? Is it taking time, slowing down to worship him even when your week is busy? Is it reminding yourself, especially in hard times, that you are never abandoned because the cross proves how deeply God cares for you? Whatever it is, don't stay on the surface. Jesus has already done all the work to bring you close. Now go deeper with God. So I'm going to pray, and then we are going to sing, and let's respond together. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that we can have a relationship with you. Even though we have run from you, even though we have separated ourselves from you, thank you that Jesus died to bring us back. And so I pray, Lord, that we would not take this relationship for granted. I pray that we would go deeper. Help us to want it. Help us to worship you. Help us to see that you care for us. And help us to trust in Jesus more. We want to go deeper, Lord. Help us. I pray if there is someone here who has never trusted in Jesus, that they would right now would see their sin, how serious it is. See the penalty for their sin. See their need for a Savior, and they would see the glory of Jesus who gave his life for sinners. Let them see that, Lord, and let them respond in faith now so that they would have a relationship with you. Lord, we ask all of this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.